CliffCentral.com.
Time to get your Tuesday morning off to a good start. We want to hear all about what you've got on your mind. We want to talk about all the things that you're interested in and get some stories in there that we all are curious about. So find out what's going on by joining us every day. We try to go through some headlines. I'm afraid this morning, a little bit depressing with that Krugersdorp gang rape story and then all these stories from JJ. It's like a little bit of a downer, and I hate waking up to that stuff. Look, I'm not going to tailor-make the news because we can't do that, and we can't turn a blind eye or put our heads in the sand like all these people who say, well, only do the positive stuff because, you know, that's ridiculous. You got to face up to these things, and they're also things that are happening right on our doorstep, so we need to know what's going on and ask ourselves, as Lebang and I were arguing just before JJ came on, and we were arguing, I think, on the same side, Lebang, about this chemical castration thing that Lindiwe Sisulu threw out there. You know, often I think about countries like, you know, Saudi Arabia, for example, where if they catch you stealing, and I'm sure this is still the rule because it was up to 3 years ago when I last checked, but 3 years ago, I know if they caught you stealing, they chop your hand off. You know, if you were stealing over a certain value, like let's say you were stealing over 10,000 rands worth of stuff, chop the hand off so that everyone else knows you're a thief. Maybe chemical castration is not the way. Maybe it's just, you know, chop off the penis. Who knows? If you're a convicted rapist.
Just remove the tools from the toolbox altogether, and then you'll see how you go forth. But the point is, it's just nice to see like the possibility of some sort of solution to this very, very big matter that we're facing as a country.
So I heard a political analyst last night, I don't know what's wrong with my throat this morning, saying that this is barbaric and we shouldn't even be considering it, and it's outrageous, and it's, you know, it's Lindiwe Sisulu trying to capitalize on the outrage that people are feeling. And all of that is valid, and I think it's it's a good point that's being made, and we should aspire to better. But let's also be fair, we've got no way of dealing with this at the moment, and normal law enforcement just hasn't done the job.
Exactly. I'm trying this new thing, Gareth, where I just like try to look at just the good, like even if it really just isn't there, like especially in the past couple of weeks with how things have been going, like even if Lindiwe is just, you know, responding to this because, you know, pre-elections or whatever the case, at least something's being said about it. That's the thing to focus on, you know, hopefully something will get done about it. That'll be like the next thing after now. It doesn't matter if it is being, you know, if we're being tricked or this or that, the mere fact that somebody is speaking on this very sad matter and very huge issue is what I'm going to focus on. And let's hope that it gets, you know, it gets taken to the next step.
Yeah, listen, we've got so many things to figure out, and this is just one of them, and I don't know that we've got the solution right now, but I'm absolutely convinced that people are up to here. They've just had it up to here. They can't. There's not much more we can expect people to do without them losing their shit, because, you know, if you were somebody who's like been victimized in a way like these, you know, these people, these poor people who were hideously abused at this mine in Krugersdorp for being part of a music video, by the way. These are young people, young girls who were asked to be in a music video. Can you imagine your little daughter goes off to do that?
Working.
Jesus. It's just frightening to think about.
Yeah, no, I'd be terrified.
Anyway, I don't want us to dwell on that even more, but I do think it's time for us to think of creative punishments. Let's put it that way. Creative ways of dealing with the worst members of society. And if we can come up with some of those along the way, maybe we can figure out some other answers to some difficult questions. Do you need insurance, but you hate having to make that phone call? Well, with Naked, you can get a final car and home insurance quote online in just 90 seconds. You can actually start your timer, and this will work out exactly within the 90 seconds. You also don't have to have a, you know, long call with a call center. Who knows about those? You've ever dealt with a call center, Lebang? The worst. Put on hold.
More than I've liked.
You get put on hold. Then they read all your details back to you. They read them wrong. The person on the other side can't pronounce the name. They can't spell the name. It becomes very frustrating. And the price you see on the website or the app is final with Naked. It's also the best price they can offer. They don't mess you around. So you don't have to phone them to try and negotiate a better price. You don't have to speak to anyone at all. If you like the price, simply enter your card details on the Naked app and you're good to go. You can basically cover your car or your home in 3 minutes, 90 seconds, all online. Naked will even help you cancel your existing cover. And if you don't like the price and you decide not to buy cover from Naked, no one's going to keep calling you for months and months afterwards to try and convince you. Oh, no, but wait, we saw that you came onto the app. We want you to come and visit us again. They'll leave you alone, which is also a nice guarantee. So visit naked.insure or download the Naked Insurance app to sort out your insurance without a phone call. Naked Financial Technology is an authorized FSP. And you know why I can vouch for them? Because we've had Ernest as a friend and a client of Cliff Central for years, and he's run a very, very tight ship there at Naked. I had my car insured with Naked. My business partner still does. As you know, I don't own a car at the moment, or I would still be on Naked, but they really are the best. So get hold of them and talk to them today. You won't be sorry. Okay. Ethan says, I could do with my dick getting chopped off. Raging boners are starting to get annoying. Well, Ethan, you should see someone about that. You should definitely see someone about that. You know, there are lots of people, like enforcement. Here's Carl, nail on the head. Enforcement is the problem, not the laws. Yeah, we already have lots and lots of laws. You know, it's already illegal to do all these things. So actually, legislators, politicians aren't going to help us in this situation. What we need is enforcement. And how do you do that when you've got someone like Becky Cele running around in a hat? Seriously. And I say the word seriously, but who is taking him seriously? Nobody. Am I right?
Not a single person.
He's a clown. He's a joke. I don't think there's anyone in the world who's going, ah, that guy looks like a serious person who we can trust to fight crime. Nobody.
Yeah, no, it's not looking good for him. And have you seen the state of police stations these days, guys? Yo,
when last were you in one? Because I went to hand my gun in for an amnesty because I was late to get my license renewed. And that was probably about 2 years ago. And obviously I'm still waiting. But, you know, the one thing about the police station you've got to give them credit.
You're still waiting.
The one thing you've got to give them credit for is they always have a picture of the president, the deputy president, and Becky Cele on the wall.
Always.
Always. No matter
That's
what.
The that only place, thing that they are consistent at.
There might be no water, no electricity. There might be nobody at the counter. It might be the door might be broken down, but they'll always have a picture of Cyril and Didi Mabuza and Becky Cele. It's very important. And they learned that from the old apartheid governments who always used to have a picture of the prime minister.
They might even be closed. They might even be closed. But if you peep in through the hole hard enough, you will see the pictures of those three people. And that is just sad because it's dire. It's literally dire. I was hearing stories all over, I think these past couple of weeks, just generally about police stations being closed, police stations being burned down. The policemen fear criminals in this country. Yeah. They themselves are victims. It's just, there's nobody that's going to save us. We just need to save ourselves. We need like a neighborhood watch, but like at a national level.
So
there's just no one.
Do you, I mean, you haven't been to police station for a while, have you?
I just go to like to stamp my affidavits or to stamp approve things like just stuff like that. But I'd rather not spend too much time in there. If I cannot have to go there, I won't. If I can just do things online, I would. It's not a vibe in there. Like,
oh no,
nothing
not
gets done,
not
dude.
A vibe.
Like they don't want to do it. They don't want to help you. If you get in there and you say, "Hey, my cell phone got stolen," they'll say to you, "Well, where were you going?" That's how bad it is. They actually don't help you.
They're
like,
victim
they just
blame.
Ask you questions. There's so many stories of women going in there, you know, from having maybe been in a GBV situation with their partners. They go to the police station. The minute they get in, the policeman or policewoman say to them, "Well, what were you and your partner fighting about? Go home and fix this. This is a marital issue, not a police issue." It's bad. It's nonsense. It's horrible, basically.
Yeah, I also think like the police have become a bit of a joke. And you know, there used to be a time where we were like respectful of the police. I mean, I'm always careful, like when I meet police people on the job, that I'm not rude to them. But I wonder how many South Africans feel the same way. I wonder how many South Africans actually respect the police.
Yeah, you see, that's the other side of it. Like, do they really get the respect? I don't know if they do.
I don't know if they deserve it.
Maybe that also plays a part.
I certainly don't think they deserve it anymore. But there are still good policemen out there, and policewomen.
Definitely.
And we've got to be careful, because if we tar everyone with the same brush, we're probably doing ourselves a huge disservice, because these are the people we will call if we're in big trouble, right? We've got no one else to call.
Yes.
So
yes.
What else are you going to do? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. You are right, Lebang. Localized groups are our localized militia groups are our planetary future. Well, you know, again, I'm not so sure that that's a solution, because then a lot of these groups will act with impunity, and they'll become like gangs. It doesn't take much.
I sense some sarcasm.
No, I know, but I do think, no, parallel parking's right. This is what happened during the riots, is we had localized militia, right? And as much as I love the idea of ordinary citizens standing up for themselves, it just takes one or two people with bad intentions to gather enough force around them. And then suddenly you've got essentially like a band of people terrorizing a neighborhood, asking for protection money. You know, this is not something that we haven't seen unfold before. So we've got to be careful.
It's not for everyone, but look at what Durban Dope is saying. I mean, speaking of, like, you know, there is some good out there. Durban Dope is saying our local CPF is doing more than the local SAP.
Yeah.
But God forbid you have a sundowner dope on the beach, they'll be all over you like a bad rash. Exactly. Some of them can't manage, you know, the little power that you give them. They really want to stretch it out into something completely.
Well, we saw this during lockdown. We saw the Karens during lockdown taking way more power than they should have, right? Dogoza says, oh, yes, the police people don't want to work for real. I sat there for close to 20 minutes to report a car accident while they were just chatting with each other before one of them decided to talk. Yeah.
You see?
No, absolutely. It's not a solution, Garrett, says parallel parking. It's going to happen because central governments worldwide are breaking down. Now, this is true, but let's just be careful that the alternative isn't even worse. I mean, would you rather be terrorized by an incompetent police force, which most of the time they're too busy being useless to actually involve themselves in your life, and you can get on with doing your own thing. And if you break the law and they catch you, you will go to jail, but that's the chances of that are slim. Or would you like roving bands of militia who have no loyalty except to themselves handling everything? You know, there's no surefire way to get past this. What you effectively need are a police force who are under the control of a government that you trust and who will look after citizens, because that's the right thing to do for police, and it's the right thing for police to be involved in. I don't think there's too much that's complicated about that. You could call me naive, but I mean, that's the whole point of having them. Otherwise, why bother? All right.
air fryer. must you
mention the air fryer? Now we're in trouble. Everybody like and subscribe. Lebang went and did it this morning. I don't know if she's just bored or whether she did that on purpose, but please like and subscribe, because otherwise those two words, air fryer, get us into huge trouble. Like and subscribe, please.
There was something in my throat. You know, I just.
Hey, you sent me a.
No, but it's working.
You sent me a recipe the other day.
Yes, I'm still waiting on feedback. Haven't you tried it?
No, because I'm terrified I'm going to screw it up. You know, I'm very nervous about chicken. I'll be honest with you. I'll do it. I'll follow your instructions carefully. You sent me all the details. I'll get over it and I'll get it done. But I'm nervous about chicken. Uncooked or badly cooked chicken is like my worst fear. I can handle, like, red meat. I know what I'm doing. Veggies, chips. I can do all of that stuff. But you to start me off on chicken. The most complicated thing of all.
Like, I purposefully sent you chicken because chicken is the easiest thing to prepare. If you know how to do body red meat.
You think so?
No, I'm telling you. I'm literally telling you.
from Raw.
Chicken is the easiest thing to prepare. Gareth, if push came to shove, you can put chicken in the microwave. I swear to God, it can't be harder than than other things. Look, just try the chicken recipe. Just put a bunch of stuff on it. Salt, pepper, whatever else you tickle, whatever else tickles your fancy, and just throw it in there, Gareth. Trust me. Trust us.
All right, okay, I'm just saying I'm not the
trust
world's...
those who have liked and subscribed.
I trust you guys. I just don't trust me when it comes to cooking. It's not my forte. It's not something I'm that good at. And if I screw this up, I could die.
How could you screw this up?
It's easy to screw up.
What are the possible... How could you get this wrong? The air fryer is going to tell you how long to keep it in there. It's going to tell you how long to keep it in there. Like, literally, the machine will...
Have you heard of salmonella?
Oh, Gareth. Yes, just say you don't want to, bro.
Steve says, I see someone losing his man card soon. I'm sorry. If you have a man card, a real man card, you don't even cook. That's the truth. So let's not casting aspersions on my manhood because I can't cook a chicken.
We beg to differ.
Yeah.
Just do it, Gareth.
I could bri.
I think you'll be fine.
Listen, I could bri a chicken. I'm happy with that. That I know what I'm doing. Air fryer.
You know how much harder that is.
I've only had this damn thing for like 2 weeks.
And have you even switched it on, or is it just sitting there collecting dust and becoming one of the ornaments in your museum house?
Like I said, I have cooked vegetables. And I made chips in it. And that was fine. I must tell you, the chips are a bit dry, hey?
How did you season them?
Did you season them?
Do you know what season is?
I put some olive oil in there. Is that okay?
It's a good start.
I put some salt on them. Is that okay?
We're doing well.
That's all. Is that not good enough?
Oh, that's a problem. No, that's not good enough.
So, well, help
just
me.
Oil and salt.
You think I'm going to just pull this stuff out of the air? I don't watch these cooking shows like everybody else does.
Okay, so...
If I don't hear it from you, I don't hear
chips.
It.
Yeah, listen, if it's not slap, it could be slap chips, it could be wedges, any potato-type thing that you're going to make in the air fryer. Olive oil, salt, pepper, paprika. Paprika is your party trick.
Is that the red stuff?
Yes, it's the red stuff. And with chips, remember, there's no such thing as too much salt. So get in there. And Gareth, don't be afraid to over-season, dude. Don't fear to over-season. So try it again.
All right.
Let me know how it goes this time around.
All right. Now we've had our conversation about the air fryer for this morning. I don't want us to be stuck on this all day.
We have.
Do you mind?
We have.
Okay. So that hopefully is, we put paid now to the air fryer discussion. All right.
Can I close it off?
Oh, boy.
Before you finish.
I think,
no, listen, we've reached how many viewers on the YouTube?
The liking and subscribing?
Yeah, I think we're moving up. That's the whole purpose of these conversations, is to actually, you know, say kudos because we're actually moving on up. It's doing a thing. We're doing a thing here.
Can I ask you a serious piece of advice? And it has nothing to do with an air fryer, but it has to do with frying a human being. Do you trust?
Not really,
no, man. I'm getting to the explanation. Don't. If you stop listening, you're going to be worried. Okay, so this is not a problem that you have, Lebang, because you are black and black don't crack and black is beautiful. But white people in the winter, we get very pale. And I've never used those tan cans before. I believe some people say they're quite dangerous. Some people say they're good. There's got to be something. Who has time to lie in the sun in winter? First of all, it's very unpleasant. And especially in the month of August, you got wind. And just like it was Murphy's Law yesterday. 1st of August comes, there was wind. Did you notice that? Worst month of the year.
Lots of it at night.
Mm. Worst month. So I'm just curious as to whether or not it's a good idea to use these things. Whether other white people might have some advice, whether black people might have some advice, because black people tan too. But I want to know whether or not there's something I should be doing here if I don't want to look so pale. Look at this color. It's like,
sure.
Burns your eyes.
Oof. Like off the bat, I'm just going to tell you, moisturizer is your friend. And I think we've had this conversation before where I mean, moisturizer is not on your grocery list. It's not a thing that you do. No. And many of your compadres, I'm sure, also don't do. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that that is the thing that you should invest in.
But that ain't going to help with the paleness.
Save lives.
That's not going to help with the paleness.
It won't, but the moisture, it'll probably stop, it'll suck something in the moisture, and then it'll come across as something. If you start putting moisturizer into your daily routine, Gareth, after every shower, it could have an effect on the paleness. With regards to spray tan, amen. Wrong crowd. I don't know.
I don't know. Not spray tan. I've never done that. But this tan can thing sounds like it might be the necessary.
Tan can. I don't know. What's a tan can? Is it not a? You get like a sun, tan in a
like
can.
Like a sunbed.
Or you could just moisturize, and then you won't have these problems.
All right. I'm gonna wait to hear what everybody else said. You've been useless on this one. Someone says Robertson's garlic and herb. If I put that on me, is that the thing to do? Or am I missing out? I'm getting confused between our two subjects here, aren't I?
I think that was for the air fryer. It put any garlic and herb on anything, and it'll come out great. Like, I don't know about your skin, though.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'll be smelling pleasant at the office with a garlic and herb spray on. All right, let's turn our attention to SD Haynes, who's somebody I've been interested to talk to on the show. Someone who's broken a couple of records. Most impressively, the world record for skipping. So after almost a decade of kickboxing and a career as a scuba diver instructor, sure, overachiever or something, huh? SD Haynes wanted to spread a message, fear no limits. And what better way to spread the word than to break not one, but three world records, Lebang. Starting in the May of this year, SD went out to break the world record for the most skips over a rope in 24 hours, having broken the 8-hour record twice, as well as the 12-hour record. He has now set his sights on the 24-hour record. So, I mean, let's talk to this guy. Sounds bloody amazing. Hey, SD, how are you?
I'm very good, and yourself?
Awesome, man. Now, first of all, I got to ask, what's wrong with you that you can skip for this long and not fall down exhausted and useless?
I've been trying to find the same answer. I think it's purely just the motivation. But I do find myself asking the question, why am I doing it? But when I'm done, when you've achieved the records, then you know why.
Okay, but you've already broken two of them, right?
Yes.
So, okay, how difficult was that to do?
It was definitely not easy. So the very first record we did was the 8-hour record in May. That was the first time I'd skipped for that long in my entire life. So we did a lot of preparation, did a lot of skipping beforehand. But on the day, not that easy. Definitely a few tiny hiccups that come up. But in all honesty, when we did the 12-hour, we had much better preparation and planning. So that one was not very hard, but also not easy.
Yeah, well, not very hard for you, but
for
me, it would have been horrific. I mean, I would have fallen down immediately. All right, so just tell us a little bit about your background as a kickboxer, because obviously you can't just decide to break a record like this unless you're already fit. And I can see Lebang's nodding her head. So tell us a little bit about your career as a kickboxer and where all of that started.
So I'd say it started at around about 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My older sister and my mom both became kickboxers.
Wow.
They competed internationally.
Yeah.
And then I just grew up into it. And at the age of 7, started kickboxing and then spent, like I said, about 10, 12 years doing kickboxing.
Phenomenal.
And one of the biggest exercises, especially to get your feet fast, since I'm not the smallest person, is skipping. Because it's lighter on your body than running. So the joints and the knees don't take that much damage.
Yeah, a lot of people swear by it. I mean, it's a really good bit of cardio to do. I see people even doing it in the gyms now. Was that always the foundation of your general fitness? But when you're doing kickboxing, there must be other stuff that you do as well. Do you lift weights? Do you run? Do you swim? Is there anything else that you do, or was skipping satisfactory?
Skipping, I'd say skipping was was the basis. But in terms of additional exercises, we do train at Sports Science Lab at Loftus Versfeld. So there we do a combination of different weights, but I don't do your traditional weightlifting. So.
It's amazing. How old are you now?
21.
Good Lord. Okay.
Jeez.
I'm impressed.
That's crazy.
Dude,
Go
ahead, Lebang.
Sorry, go for it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I'm just curious. If you're going to do, like, 8 hours and you're going to get that record, that's freaking brilliant. Now you want to do, like, a 24-hour record. What's the difference in preparation?
Sure.
that you'd have to be, I mean, what would you be have to skipping in your sleep? That's crazy.
No, it's definitely a big planning. So the 8-hour record that we did and the 12-hour record, they were both good training sessions. That sounds a bit absurd, but both of those record attempts were good training sessions for the 24 hours. So for preparation for the 24, I don't have to do as much skipping than if I didn't do the 8 and 12 hours. So it's about 2 hours a day, roughly.
Hmm. Good Lord. Dude, do you ever, like, trip on the skipping rope? Because if I do more than, like, a few in a row, and especially if you get tired, I know it becomes almost automatic for you, right? Like, you start to get into a rhythm. But, I mean, if you lose that rhythm, you can easily falter, and then you have to start again. Like, I'm just counting here on – so this is what I know from what you did. You did 71,185 skips in May this year, all in one go. That's absolutely incredible. How do you not trip? How do you not lose your rhythm? That's a mental thing.
So, funny enough, for the 8 hours, you do lose your focus. So you do trip. Luckily, the record is not continuous, so you can take small breaks in between.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
But focus is the biggest challenge. Is the rhythm is only a focus thing. As soon as you lose your focus, your rhythm goes off. But, I mean, in terms of the statistics, for the 8-hour record that we did, I had about 250 fails, so times when you trip, times when it catches your foot. And then when we did the 12-hour, it was less than 100. So as soon as you can enter into a mode of focus, then it becomes a tiny bit easier. But sometimes when I'm training, the rhythm is just not there, and you constantly trip.
Now, I mean, if that's the case, do you just call it quits for that day and, like, you come back another day? I mean, how does it work?
No, that's I don't always have the capacity to say, okay, now I'm going to stop now. If I start a training session, in the back of my mind, I know I have to finish it. So that's also what builds the mental side of the skipping.
Yeah.
Because it's more mental than physical. It doesn't always look like it, but the focus needed for 12 hours is a mental focus. The body just goes long. The body does what you tell it to do.
So, okay, you take these breaks. So with the 24-hour one, do they give you, like, 2 days to do it in?
No. You just have – as soon as the timer starts, you've got 24 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay, and you're
so
trying to –
you can then take breaks in between, but it then eats at your time of how long you have to skip.
All right, so there's this guy called Cela Rosa Rega, who apparently has the record at 168,394 skips in 24 hours. You're fairly confident you can beat that?
If I follow my plan correctly, the one that we've worked out, then
wow.
I'm pretty confident we'll break it.
168,394.
That's wild.
Frightening.
That is wild.
What are you going to do after that? You're going to collapse. I mean, tell me about the previous one. How did you feel the next day?
So it also changes depending on how much your body's been through. I'd say for the 8-hour record, you're on an adrenaline high.
Mm.
You can't feel your feet at all. And then as soon as you lie down, then you kind of struggle to get back up. Because the hips are sore, the legs are sore, the feet are sore.
Yeah.
So after the 8 hours, it was a bit longer recovery. I'd say about 5 or 6 days.
Right.
But as the body gets used to it, as you train your body and it gets harder, after the 12 hours, I was walking the next day.
Unbelievable.
So the toll on the body was more, but the body could handle more.
Jesus. All right, so what...
SD, are you human?
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm thinking.
When did you land on planet Earth? Because you're clearly not one of us. You said you started kickboxing very, very young, like 7, 8. And obviously that must have affected your entire, you know, trajectory and career. But starting that young, what do you think was like your biggest takeaway? Being a kid and being so heavily involved in just fitness and sports and because as a mom, I'm just thinking, geez, should I get my 8-year-old, you know, skipping every day now so that when he's 21, he could, you know, like what was the real thing you can say? I'm so glad I started young because.
I think the biggest was always a sense of discipline in pursuing something. So starting sports from a young age, yes, there's all the physical benefits. Your hand-eye coordination, your balance, all of those benefit. But I think the growth that you get from dedicating yourself to something that you don't always see the end goal with. If you start a sport and you have a dream to one day be somewhere, when you're working at it now, it doesn't feel like you're going to get there. It doesn't feel like today's training session is going to matter. But when you put in the work and when you spend just focusing on something, you see the results of long-term planning and long-term dedication. So I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from starting sports early. And one of the other things was also trying everything. I was one of those kids. I was never very fast, but I was the person who did everything on the athletics track just to try it.
Yeah.
I sucked at half the stuff, but it's important to try things. I mean, I kind of have a little bit of a challenge for you two. Tell us if send us your location to the studio, and I'd like to come and challenge you with the skipping. Just so you can find something new. 10 minutes.
All right.
10 minutes together.
All right. So Lebang just had a baby 4 weeks ago, and I can't even skip. I can't even do 5 skips in a row without falling down or tripping on the rope. So, dude. I would say yes if it was even possible, but I know you're going to be wasting your time. You will leave there. Talk about frustration. You'll give up on skipping completely if you end up around us for a long enough time. It's not going to happen.
We'll find out.
It's an interesting challenge. Let's say, okay, 2 minutes. I'll drop the bar down from 10 minutes to 2 minutes.
2 minutes! I don't even know if I can get that right, but I do. I admire what you're doing. Listen, are you going to try it, Lebang? Let's try.
Look, I think, you know, I can come to the studio maybe next week, Tuesday. Next week, there's one of the days. Gareth, if you agree, let's go. And then we'll link up with SD there. We'll record it. Let's make it a thing. As long as we just stick to 2 minutes. After the 2 minutes, then I don't have to ever skip again for the rest of my life.
We'll just take a 30-second slip and say 2 minutes.
You see, that's the beauty
that's
of
cheating.
Social media. You don't need to
now
go.
You can't cheat. Is there going to be someone watching you while you do yours?
Yeah, someone's going to count. And
is that going to be
what
someone? Is that going to be when you do yours? I mean, is that going to be someone who is approved by Guinness because they've got to like verify it, and how does it work?
So the whole process is: do you have different options for Guinness? So the one that we're following is the online evidence. So for each record that we did for the 8, 12, and now for the 24 hours, we got one of our supporters, TVM. They developed a pressure plate system that basically counts each time my feet lift up from the ground.
Oh, wow.
So that I have a live count of how many skips I have left, how many I've done, what's my current pace. So we've fine-tuned that entire program now after the 12-hour, but that then, coupled with a 12 and an 8-hour-long video, is then our evidence that we sent through.
Okay.
So instead of having one of them come all the way here, we just make sure that we gather all the evidence and then send it through to them.
All right. I like it. Well, listen, dude, I mean, we're thrilled that we know you and that you made time to see us this morning, and I can't wait for you to break this record like you have the previous two. I think it's just terrific. Keep doing us proud. And it seems to me like there's nothing that's going to stop you. Now, once you've done the 24 hours, I mean, what's left for you to do? Because then skipping, you've obviously become the king of the world. What other things do you want to break records for?
So there's a few different, how would I say, adventures and challenges we want to go on. Mm-hmm. If I have to be exact in terms of records, I'd say the next record, just hinting, is most possibly going to be pull-up related, but we're also going to be focusing on endurance activities, doing the Otter Trail in Titicaca, walking the distance of the Fish River Canyon, doing bungee jumps, trying out skydiving. So there's a lot of challenges that I'd like to document, because we're starting our YouTube channel.
Awesome.
And the whole point is to fear no limits. That's the message. To say, well, all of these things are scary, but you have to try them out.
I love it. I love it, dude. You really are extraordinary. And I hope that you do all of these things and more. And let us know as soon as you can about the YouTube channel, so we can all subscribe to that as well. And then we can all get on board and watch you break some records.
Awesome. No, I'll definitely send it through. It is just Fear No Limits. I think there is SDF, but I'll get the links and everything.
All right. Send us the links. We'll attach them to this podcast and everybody can go and subscribe and get on board. I love it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, thank you guys very much.
All right, dude.
Talking to you.
Thank you. So nice
awesome.
To see you,
good
SD.
Luck, dude.
I'll see you guys next week, Tuesday, for that challenge.
No, forget about it.
Yes.
No, not going to happen.
We're not skipping that.
Huh? All right, dude. Cheers. Huh? Bye-bye. Wow. How's that, huh? And here
that
we are.
So impressive.
And here we are. We're like, oh, it's so difficult to wake up on a Tuesday morning. This guy's going to skip hundreds of thousands of times, break records. And then he's going to do a pull-up challenge. Then he's going to do the Otter Trail. It's like there's just energy, hey?
I bet you he's already on his way to training. Like, there's no way you're in the car right now while you're doing an interview with Gareth Cliff. He's definitely going somewhere important, yeah. And I can guarantee you it's to training so that he can just, you know,
Kick ass and take numbers.
Crazy.
I have such respect for people who can do that. I'm very seldom jealous of other people, but I do love and admire the ability some people have to just generate enormous energy and take on tasks like this. It's just, it's something, I always say I couldn't do it. I know I couldn't do it at that level. Even if I decided tomorrow, right, now I'm going to get into like perfect shape and I'm going to be training every day for 3 hours and blah, blah, blah. I could probably get, you know, I could get a little bit ahead of where I am now. But I could never do what he's doing. And I just know my limits.
Yeah, no. No, it's too late for people like us to chase that dream. But yeah. He's done it very well. And I think he did it at such a critical age. That's why I asked him the age question. Because if you can start that young, it just becomes a part of your life. You don't need to look at any other thing.
You heard he started kickboxing at a really young age. And his mom was a kickboxer. Now, that's
and
impressive.
A sister.
Yeah.
Mm. That's dope, man. No, kudos to him. I think he's going to do very well. And we'll support him all the way. I think he's clearly identified his lane and he must just keep skipping in it.
Huh? Well, meanwhile, while we're talking about like breaking records and being fit and everything else, Sanele is still stuck on chicken because Sanele says the only chicken I enjoy is fantastic. Chicken licking is fantastic. KFC is trash. That's what Sanele says. So some people still on the chicken bandwagon.
Well, no surprises there. I mean, you know, when we talk about food, you know how it goes, Gareth. It always becomes a thing. But in terms of which chicken is better between KFC and Chicken Licken, that conversation can go on for a bit too long.
I'm not gonna get into that.
Yeah, not entertaining that one.
What are we doing for Women's Day next week, Lebang? We're not gonna be doing the show.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna commemorate this by going on a march or something? Because you're like one of those women who like want to make a fuss of it. I know you.
I am.
A political statement. Oh yeah.
Don't I live my life like that every day anyway?
Oh, you do. With your 29 children, you're definitely setting a high standard for all the women. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know it. No, I don't. I'm not going to put on a show or anything. The only thing I have committed to is I am donating some clothes and some baby clothes and some of my old clothes as well. And I've got a bunch of my family members to also send me some of their stuff. And I'll just be donating that to a place up the road. It's actually that girl that I interviewed on Life of the Bung, like right in the beginning. I've been supporting her since then. So I can't rent out Ella's Free Stadium and, you know, fly down all the best ladies in the world. I'm just going to do my little bit. And that's probably how I'm going to spend my day. I don't envision myself doing anything beyond that, really.
Nothing wrong with that. Sounds like a good way to do it. I was invited to a thing. we're going
Aren't
on this.
You always?
Yeah, we're going on this tour of these women who were like the most important women in Johannesburg in the 1900s, early 1900s, and they're all their stories and their houses. It's like this historical tour, but I'm like still 50-50 on it. I was meant to give an answer yesterday, and I didn't. So it's a friend of mine, and she said, "Oh, you'll enjoy this. This will be fun." And I'm like, still deciding. Not entirely sure it'll be fun, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So that's all
I've
got.
It's not going to take your entire day, right? It'll probably just be a few hours.
I should hope not. She did say there will be tea and cake, which is very exciting.
Ooh, they had you at cake.
Tea and cake, Levine, not just the one.
So. Maybe you should give it a go. Sure. If it's really sucky, you'll just leave like mid whatever. Just be like, oh, I'm going to the toilet. Ninja bomb out of there.
I don't think this is the kind of thing that you can leave, because we'll probably end up going together. And then she'll say, oh, where did you go? You just disappeared and you left me here and I had to Uber home. And that won't be a good story. I will not be a good guy in that story. You know what I mean?
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
So I think.
But yeah, it's Women's Month though.
Oh, like, yes, that's true.
The whole month is
so,
for us.
So,
that's this woman's day.
So we've got to have a whole calendar shit planned. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, just, I don't know, do something nice for a woman in your life if you don't already do it. I mean, if you already do it, good for you. But if you don't, you know, it's the opportunity to look, you know, to look like a better person and hopefully be, I don't know, figure it out in your life. I think if you don't have any plans at all and it's just another month for you, perhaps it's an opportunity to look at things differently and just apply something different.
I'm already exhausted just hearing you talk like this. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have to do something. Sounds so hard. No, I think, you know what I'm going to do for Women's Day?
Yeah, you're not going anywhere near Tuesday.
You know what I'm doing for Women's Day? I'm going to do zero. I'm going to stay the hell out of everyone's way. I'm just going to stay at home and be quiet. That's what I'm going to do. What did you do for Women's Day, Gareth? Fucking nothing.
Yeah, go give the vocal cords a break because you talk for a living. So,
I'll just say, chill out. So busy, you know. I'm busy commemorating. I'm going to be at the union buildings, marching for women. I'll just make it up and then people will believe me. That's what I'm going to do. It's ridiculous. Okay, so back to the comments. We've got a couple of people. This is amazing. Some people eat walkie-talkies, vomit. Well, lots of people eat walkie-talkies. Those are the chicken feet and the beaks, the head.
Those are actually so good. They're actually so yummy.
You can
like,
keep
depending
those.
On how you prepare them.
See, like,
just say you've never had nice ones.
This is what I love about the comments is we'll be talking about this, but they're still stuck on chicken over there, which is what they're doing right now. It's amazing.
Walkie-talkies are very nice.
No, not for me, thank you. I know what I like and I know what I don't. I will be avoiding those. You can have those. You can give yourself a Women's Day treat and have all the walkie-talkies that I don't have. How about that?
I don't expect you to like walkie-talkies. If you're already struggling to make normal chicken, then walkie-talkies are just at a level that is just like you're not going to be able to.
I wouldn't know
them,
how
so.
To.
Yeah.
Steve E says, let's talk about NASA scientists saying that astronauts must not jack off in space. Apparently, that's a true story. I saw it yesterday on Instagram. Apparently, NASA's saying that they shouldn't play with themselves in outer space. Apparently, it's bad for them.
Oh, bummer.
Mm. Oh. I'm not going to talk about it. I have nothing to add on that. I've never been to space, and I don't have to give that up. Sorry. It's like asking LeBug about tanning.
Yes.
I agree on chicken and steak, says Sanele. Let's start a terrorist. You see, again, Sanele cannot get off of the chicken. It's just unbelievable this morning. That's all there is.
Oh, well, Rav One Architect has a good point. You can't say you don't like something if you haven't tried it out first. See, I like people like this, especially on a Tuesday morning.
What are you talking about, though, Rav? Are you talking about chicken? Are you talking about walkie talkies? Or are you talking
jerking
about
off in space?
Or jerking off in space? Exactly. We need to figure out which one you mean, because I haven't tried walkie talkies or the last one, and I don't think anyone's going to pay for me to go to space to try it out. So I'm not sure.
Please no.
Mm-mm. All right, that's it. That's all we got time for, people. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. Don't forget, because it's Tuesday, Yaku will be on live with Unbundled and Catalytic in just a short while. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. You can always get podcasts of all the various shows. Just go to cliffcentral.com. We will also post links to any of the guests that we've had on, and you can find out who they are. Follow their social media. In the case of people like Esty, you might want to subscribe to their YouTube channels and go and see what they're up to. I mean, he's an inspiring guy. And for all you know, you might end up skipping and getting fit and looking fantastic. Who knows?
Yeah.
It could happen. And I'm sorry about all the depressing news in the first hour this morning, but we will definitely make up for it tomorrow. We've got a whole itinerary of stuff planned for you for the rest of this week. And don't forget, next week, Tuesday, public holiday. So Lebang and I will not be here next week, Tuesday. But the rest of the time, of course we will. All right. Have a great Tuesday. Hell, cheers, yeah. Everybody.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.